Hey guys, welcome to Broad Street to Britain, a UK Phillies podcast with me, Dave Shaw, and I am joined yet again by two more really special guests. And I'm excited, guys, because I am joined by some stellar guests. The director of Fun and Games. Yes, you heard that right. What a job title. What a job role. It's John Brazier and the best friend of the Philly fanatic. Yes, you heard that right. It is Tom Burgoyne. Guys, how are you? John, Tom, great to have you on.
We're doing great. Tom and I just, you know, we do a podcast together. And we just interviewed Taron Hatcher yesterday that just got posted today. And in a little bit, Tom will be with his best friend, the Fanatic. And I'm actually taking Brian Westbrook, former Eagles football player, down on the field for batting practice, assuming there is going to be batting practice because it was pouring rain about 20 minutes ago. But all good.
And all Tom, good. How are you, my man?
Feeling good. I could be better, David. It was a tough loss for the Phillies last night against the Orioles. They're playing real well, but we had a chance to beat them and didn't get it done. So I think tonight it's Christmas in July. So I know there's a game, but the important thing is Santa Claus might make an appearance at the game tonight. So that's
Santa
really
Claus,
what I'm looking forward
fanatic.
To.
Oh,
and we face Kyle Gibson. So you think we would know what his strengths and weaknesses are and we can exploit them.
And Gibby got his ring yesterday, of course, as well. Again, an underrated player who was really good in Red October last year, gave us some big innings. I was lucky enough to meet Gibby at batting practice in June last year. And one, I couldn't believe how tall he was. He's a giant.
Right.
Two, what a lovely, lovely, nice guy he was. And I hate rooting against ex-Philly players. You know, Zach Eflin, that was tough. No, Libby Eflin was like really conflicted. And Gibby's another one tonight. You know, obviously I want us to win, but
and David, what's been interesting is, you know, as these 2022 players who've been traded have come back to the ballpark as a visiting player, before the game, our owner, John Middleton, and president of baseball operations, David
Dombrowski.
Sorry. Dave Dombrowski and John Middleton.
You got to get the fur out of your ears.
I know, right. The fur is in my ears, Dave. But they present these players with their championship, National League championship ring. So I think last night, Kyle Gibson was the last player to get his ring. Yeah. And it's kind of neat. They come out of the dugout in, you know, he's in an Orioles jersey, but it's kind of cool that they come out and present the ring. And then, of course, the Fanatic standing there, and he gives a little polite applause. And then as soon as Gibson gets the ring and stepped into the dugout, the Fanatic shot him the tongue, gave him the business, booed him. He's now on the other team, and he will forever be booed.
That's it. The moment he steps over that, back into that opposition dugout, that's it.
Exactly.
Your Philly ties are done for now. With the Fanatic, with so many visiting teams, and now we face every team this year, is there any visiting teams that the Fanatic really can't wait to see? And any players in particular that the Fanatic is like, yes, I can't wait to see him again. And is there any players that the Fanatic loves to give it to and players love to give it back? You know, there's a good interactions. Who's the Fanatic's sort of favorite players to come and visit Citizens Bank Park?
The Fanatic has a pretty much an intense dislike of every visiting team. So, you know,
Especially the Mets there, right?
And then I think it's the Mets. I think, you know, when the Mets come to town, that really usually is the time where the Fanatic, you know, pulls out all the stops. Of course, he's been smashing a Mets helmet for probably the last 45 years. So he always has to do that at least once during a homestand. You know, visiting, you know, we do get, because New York and Philadelphia are so close, we get a lot of New York fans. And so the Fanatic likes to mess with their fans, or maybe, you know, maybe dress up a Philly fan as a Mets fan and really abuse them. popcorn on the head, pants coming off, you know, you never know what's going to happen. A pie to the face. The Fanatic always loves it when the Mets are in town.
Does the Fanatic ever have a plan before he goes out? Or is it just, you know what, whatever comes into his head, he's going to do?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, actually. A little bit of both. You know, sometimes the spontaneity is what makes it fun. But you also have to, you know, Fanatic sometimes does set up certain gags. And he knows usually they always are going to work.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, the Fanatic actually beat Jose Bautista in a push-up contest on a pregame.
Yeah.
When I think Batista was on the Blue Jays. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's one of those things, you know, it got a lot of love on YouTube, and but it is one of those things that happens very spontaneously. There's certain players who like to mix it up with the Fanatic. Certain players could care less about the Fanatic, and they're kind of looking, you know, they're warming up for the game, and they're looking right through the Fanatic, you know, they don't even see him. But yeah, the Jose Batista, that got a lot of love on YouTube, and the Fanatic did win that push-up contest.
He did.
I love it. One-armed.
That's right.
When I have my boy who's just come up to four, we love watching because he loves the Fanatic. Loves the Fanatic. He's got the big.
How old is he, David? How old?
He's four in a week and a half.
Ah, perfect.
So I even got him to. I asked him. I saw him yesterday. He's at his mum's tonight. I said, "Have you got any questions for the Fanatic? I'm seeing him tomorrow." All he wanted to know was, "What's his favorite ice cream? What's his favorite ice cream flavor?" That was it.
That's beautiful. I think it's mint chocolate chip. It's green.
Oh, same as me. Oh, awesome. Yeah,
there it is.
It's we watch the YouTube videos of the best bits of the Fanatic because he loves it. You know, and it cuts to the baseball. He likes playing baseball. He loves the bat and ball. The hand-eye coordination is getting good. Watching it, we're still working on it. But the Fanatic is the main attraction for him. And you have, obviously, when you go in the studio with John and Tom, when he goes in there with John and Tom, the popcorn everywhere, the complete chaos. Again, is the Fanatic like? Is he in that mood? Does he plan it with Tom and John? What's behind it? Does he just go right? I'm going up there, I'm going to cause some chaos, and then I'm out of there. What's his plan?
Yeah, sometimes you know the Fanatic takes breaks during the game, so he's out in the crowd, and then if they say something on TV during the game, the Fanatic might hear that. And that's when he might go up and have some fun. That happens a lot. Sometimes they invite the Fanatic up. It all depends. Yeah. But it's nothing better than ambushing them though, when they don't know it's coming.
Yeah. The doorbell goes off and you hear that. Uh-oh. Especially John Kruk. You know? The head in the hands is like, oh, what's coming.
Well, the Fanatic made a visit to Cleveland over the weekend because it was their mascot birthday, Slider. And so the Fanatic went into it because he had to go visit his friends up in the broadcast booth, T-Mac and Ruben Amaro. And I don't know if you saw it, but the Fanatic's in the booth having fun. And then the Baltimore Bird, the guy who, you know, we're going to be playing the Orioles, you know, the next day, tried to kind of – you know, weasel in on a little bit of the Fanatic's FaceTime. So the Fanatic, you know, he kicked him out of the booth.
As he should.
The birds think they're big time now, and they're busting on the Fanatic.
I know, right.
They had a few months at the top.
Has
the Fanatic got any best friends? You know, is there any other mascots in baseball that, you know, is best buddies with the Fanatic?
Yeah, you know, we all get along pretty well. And the baseball sends all the mascots to the All-Star game every year. So every year we get together, and instead of every year just being a big brawl on the field, I think a long time ago we decided, you know what, I think we have to play together, and which is fun because we try to come up with some creative things to do. It's fun.
It's great.
Hey, Dave, one of my first dates with my wife, it was downtown Philadelphia, Tom had invited me out to a bar, and every mascot was in town. I forget. Oh, it was your birthday, I guess. Fanatic's birthday. And my first date was basically with 29 other mascots and Tom. So somehow she still married me.
She went on a second date. And then exactly. Married John, which is really exactly. Surprising.
I couldn't think anything better than a first date. I can just imagine carnage.
Carnage.
John, director of fun and games at the Phillies. First of all, what a title. Incredible. Is it as good as it sounds? What is the job like for people that don't know?
Yes. So the job, this is my 30th year with the Phillies, and I was hired basically to be kind of the marketing spokesperson for the team. We didn't really have somebody. We have 81 events to sell to market. Each game has a separate thing. You might have a giveaway. You might have a celebrity coming. You might have theme night. So we need to go out there and basically push out the 81 games. So I went to the radio station right when I first started. I went on a radio show and I started talking, and the guy kept asking me about my title. And all I want to do is promote what's coming up. And I came back to my boss, said, I need a new title that's self-explanatory, that one will want them to have me come into the studio. So we came up with the title Director of Funny Games. I put it on my business card, and then I was official, because once it's on the business card,
that's it.
Right? Yeah. So yeah, so the job is as good, because I can tell you right now, on Friday, I'm going with Tommy Green and Mickey Morandini, two former Phillies, and we're golfing at Oakmont, which is one of the great courses in the world. And then we're going to go see the Phillies-Pittsburgh game Friday night in Pittsburgh. So today I'm taking Brian Westbrook down on the field. Tomorrow, LeSean McCoy, he played for the Eagles, taking him down on the field. We'll have Miles Teller coming this summer, and you get to do a lot of cool things, interact with a lot of great people. And, of course, I get to do a podcast with the best friend of the Fanatic, Tom Burgoyne, and what's better than that?
A great podcast. By the way, backstage with Burgoyne and Brazier is the podcast. A great podcast that I've lucky enough to be on two times now.
Yes, three people now. You're the third.
Oh, privilege. It's great fun and a great podcast. Again, a podcast which takes it by behind the scenes, Phillies interviewing some great people. What sort of guest have you had, apart from myself? What sort of guest do you have on that podcast?
Well, I'll start, Tom, and then you can fill in. Some of my favorites, Charlie Manuel. We had a great one, Charlie Manuel. We've had some of the players that have great personalities. We had Garrett Stubbs, which I thought was a great one. We've had Rhys Hoskins, who we're both pretty close with. I thought one of the more interesting ones is Jamie Moyer. That was more on the serious side, because Tom and I are both goofy. So Jamie Moyer was on the serious side, because we really got into, you know, he was sent down to the minors, and somebody told him, I think his agent basically said, you got to go see this Harvey Dorfman, who is a mental skills. This is, again, a long time ago, mental skills guy. And, you know, he can get your mind, you know, ready for, you know, really getting back in the majors and then succeeding in the majors. And he went to, I think, Arizona or somewhere to his house. And next thing you know, he went on to have a long, great career. And I know Roy Halladay and a bunch of other people had credited Harvey Dorfman for, you know, giving him that mental skills approach. So that's more the serious side. Tom and I usually, we'll get Charlie Manuel to talk about, you know, a story where maybe a Pelican, he went into his condo one night at 10 at night after dinner, and it was pitch black dark, and he's trying to open the door, and he heard this crashing noise, and he thought there was an intruder in the house, and he opens up the door, has an umbrella ready to fight the intruder. And what he didn't realize, he had a sliding glass door he left open in his condo, and a big pelican got in and it couldn't get out. And when he turned on the light, the pelican went and attacked him. And next thing you know, Charlie Manuel and the pelican are having a war. So that's more of the stories that we try to get out of the podcast.
That's incredible. The image of that happening in my head right now is just surreal.
Yeah. Charlie was great. John, I thought you were going to tell the story of when he fell asleep in Japan in a bathhouse and woke up and he had all these geisha girls around him.
But
we can have Charlie on every week Tony Bennett just passed away, and I do a radio show as well. And I told this story on the radio that they were in San Francisco, and Charlie and a bunch of coaches get on the elevator, and who's on the elevator? Tony Bennett. And Charlie Manuel looks at him and says, "Hey, Tony Bennett." And Tony Bennett just looked at him like he's crazy. And Charlie said, "Hey, can you sing anything, Tony?" And of course he didn't sing anything. And then they get off the elevator. All the coaches were laughing because they're like, "Charlie, you really think Tony Bennett's going to sing for you on an elevator?"
I forgot about that. That's hilarious.
What a character. What a character. One of the great characters, not for the Phillies, but in sport in general. He's great for the sport. Tom, any favorite guests that?
Yeah, and I was going to say, you know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a sports writer. So we've had some of the great Philadelphia sports writers on our podcast, you know, and Jason Stark and Jim Salisbury and Paul Hagen, and, you know, just talking to I always am fascinated about their life and, you know, how they, you know, at the follow the team and, you know, they seen it all. So they always have stories. And then, Dave, what can you say? One of the cool things is John and I are the exact same age. We grew up with the 1980 Phillies. They were our team. And to be able to interview, you know, we've interviewed a lot of those guys. We've interviewed a lot of the guys from the 93 team as well, which was probably John and my favorite team too. So, you know, that's really cool for me to, you know, here we are having an interview with Larry Bowa. Now, we both have known Larry for a long time. I've gone on vacations with some of these guys on some of the trips that we take. And so that's just cool too. But, you know, to be able to kind of sit down and interview Larry Bowa for an hour, that was one of my top ones, I think.
And some of the guys, Dave, we don't know. They just happen to be you know, at the ballpark, or it kind of falls in our lap. Two of them, Dale Murphy, Tom, I don't think you had met him either, had you?
Right.
And I hadn't met him, and we'd watch him as a fan. Dale Murphy was bigger, you know, a huge star with the Braves, and then obviously with the Phillies. But he's a guy that should be in the Hall of Fame. He's probably the one guy that's not in the Hall of Fame that really should be. Then the other one was Rick Wise. Rick Wise we traded him for Steve Carlton, basically. But Rick Wise had arguably the greatest game, and probably will always be the greatest game in baseball history, because he had a no-hitter and he hit two home runs. And I guess Ohtani could do that, but he's the only guy in history, Major League Baseball history, to have a no-hitter and two home runs in the same game. And again, Ohtani would be the only one that could possibly have a chance.
Wow. Yeah. I got to YouTube that.
He was a great guy, too.
Great guy.
That's incredible. John, you've seen many, many big stars walking out of Citizens Bank Park, taking first pitch. Is there any highlights, any people that you've been starstruck by, or the people you've seen, and who's had the best first pitch, and who's had maybe one to forget?
All right, I'll start with the celebrities. It's funny. Tom and I are constantly around celebrities all the time, so you don't get fazed. Obviously, we work for the baseball players, and but sometimes someone will catch you off guard. And I remember I'm a huge fan of Spinal Tap, and a lot of the other Waiting for Guffman and Best in Show. And Christopher Guest came to the game with Harry Shearer and Michael McKean. And I just, with Christopher Guest, for somebody, I'm such a fan of those movies. And again, he's not in the sports world, that I kind of got a little tongue tied. It was somewhat early in my career. Probably the coolest moment to me is I really like Pearl Jam. And Raul Ibanez asked me if I could, told me that Eddie Vedder is coming to the game by himself, and he needs someone to kind of show him around and kind of hang with him all game. And I volunteered for it. So I had to spend a whole game with Eddie Vedder. Yeah. Couldn't have been a cooler guy. Couldn't have been nicer. He knew a lot of things about baseball. He's very gracious. Can't say enough great things. But, you know, we've had a lot of opportunity. Art Garfunkel's a big Phillies fan. Miles Teller is a huge Phillies fan. Bradley Cooper is a big Phillies fan. So
yeah, Bradley was great. And Jamie Foxx too, John. Remember we met him. He was great. Great guy.
Bruce Willis. Just a lot of fun people have come through the area. Meatloaf, Alice Cooper, you know, a bunch of different artists.
And of course, you're down there when they're practicing for that first pitch as well. You know, who straight away catches your eye and go, I don't need to give him much advice. And who have you seen and gone,
The best first pitch I ever saw, and it's funny, I usually give the celebrity advice on what to do. So I always say, you don't want to be on the mound because you don't want to be up high. It's easier on a flat level. Plus the ground crew doesn't get upset that you mess up the mound. And I usually say, don't try to throw too hard. If you try to throw too hard, what's going to happen is you're going to throw down and the ball's going to go right into the ground. And I say, if you go in the ground, you're going to get a boo. If you go too high, you get an ooh. So you'd rather get a ooh than a boo. So go a little higher than normal, high release point. Don't try to throw too hard and you'll be fine. So I told this to AJ Brown, wide receiver for the Eagles. Little did I know he was a 23rd round draft pick of the Padres. So he was an excellent baseball player. And he looked at me kind of like,
John's giving him lessons, Dave.
Yeah. Next thing you know, he throws a bullet. The other one that really threw it, Doug Peterson, the former coach of the Eagles.
Really?
He threw an unbelievable first pitch. The bad first pitches. Who was the there was a
host? Yeah, Robert.
a local radio guy, maybe. I know he probably wasn't the worst. Carl Lewis. Didn't Carl Lewis do a really bad one at the Phillies?
I know you can't sing the national anthem at all, but
I'm pretty sure Carl Lewis did a pretty bad one. Olympic champion Carl Lewis. So, but we've had some fun ones, especially last year, Dave, the World Series. Man, we had probably the coolest first pitch ever. It was Bernie Parent, who is the Stanley Cup winning goalie on the team back in the 70s. So arguably the greatest, one of the greatest flyers, if not the greatest. You had Dr. J, who's arguably the greatest Sixer ever. You have Brandon Graham, who just won the Super Bowl with the Eagles, you know, back way back when. Not too far way back, just a couple years. And then we had Mike Schmidt, who's arguably the greatest Philly.
What a lineup.
They threw the first pitch to, what was it? And then catching it was Ryan, Chase, Jimmy, and Shane. Is that
I
right?
I think that's it. Yeah. Yep.
Yep. So, I mean, the eight people together, like on the field together, was just
that's special.
Unbelievable. And that,
especially if you're a Philadelphia sports fan, you know, it's the ultimate, you know.
It was awesome. So, and then we had just a lot of different people come through. You know, we had a Sherry O'Terry from Saturday Night Live. And again, Miles Teller did a Fanatic routine. We had Jason Kelsey on the Eagles, slammed a beer on the field, which was a little bit illegal, according to Major League Baseball standards.
No one does it better than Philly for me. Like, Philly gets it. You know, Philly sports get, they know how to get the crowd going. They know what gets everybody pumped up. Like, you just don't see it anywhere else. I don't think many of the places could really get away with it. Let's be honest of what we do. John, are you behind the plans to get the players in to do this sort of stuff? Is that you're doing with the team?
I think it's a lot of the different people's jobs that kind of get involved. Where I would get involved is this: if there is a celebrity, you know, I then would get involved as far as being the coordinator and bring them into the clubhouse, meeting the players, talking to our social media team, making sure they capture everything, whether it's in the locker room, on the field, talking to our Greg Murphy, maybe for the pregame radio show, talking to the announcers to maybe see if they want him on the TV booth or Fransky or LA in the radio booth. So it's kind of coordinating all of that. So, and then I got to talk to the, you know, Rob Thompson to make sure that, you know, if it's a big enough celebrity, they can take batting practice. I'm behind that as well. So sometimes I'm creating it. Sometimes I'm just kind of just orchestrating it.
Oh, what a job. It's amazing. It's so cool to hear the stories as well. Next year is obviously a big year for all Phillies fans, but for us over here, it's special. The London series, the Phillies versus the Mets. What a series, you know, not just the Phillies coming here. It's the Mets. The rivalry, there's going to be a big Philly New York takeover. We can't wait. Obviously, the Fanatic was born in the Galapagos Islands, but has he ever been abroad before? Will this be his first trip abroad, or has the Fanatic got some great tales of some road trips away?
John, how many continents has the Fanatic been to? I've lost track.
John's been on the Fanatic has been on 5 of the 7 continents. He hasn't been to Antarctica, and he hasn't made a trip to Africa, which you need to go over there. But you've been obviously to Europe with
all the other continents. Yeah,
Japan many times.
Yeah, and so Dave, he hasn't been to Europe too much. The one time he made it over there was Rotterdam. They have a baseball tournament every year, and they brought the Fanatic over. But so he's very excited, you know, for the London series. Can't wait. He knows that Fred Bird and Clark the Bear were over there last month.
They were, yes, they were, yeah.
From the Cardinals and the Cubs. They had a great time. The Fanatic got a chance to talk to them at the All-Star game and was picking their brain on good restaurants to go to and how cool the fans are. So it's going to be great. He can't wait. He can't wait, Dave.
What's is there anything on his bucket list? Has he told you, like, Tom, we got to do this. We got to do this when we're there. Is there anything top of his bucket list that he really wants to do? Because just imagine the Fanatic outside Big Ben and Buckingham Palace. You know, it's blowing my mind. It gets me really excited. And of course, dropping into Passiong Avenue. Is there anything that the Fanatic
wants to be a Buckingham guard? He wants to just stand there and march and I think lay maybe a big smooch on one of those guards and see if they break character. You know?
I want to be there for that. I want to see how that goes down. It could go
and then
ways.
If that works, you know, it's right to King Charles, I think, for the big smooch, you know?
Dave, I'm very excited too, because as you know, I lived in Manchester, England.
Yep.
In 1988 for a year. Played and coached lacrosse up there in a town called Eccles. And I've gone back a bunch, especially to London a lot. And I was down for I went to the Eagles Jaguars game at Wembley, and I saw. I know what Philadelphia travels extremely well. And of all the teams in the States, it's one of the top, you know, drawing fans, and we'll go anywhere. And I saw that because, again, at that Jaguars Eagles game, you saw Eagles fans everywhere, every little neighborhood. If you go to Shepherd's Market, you go to Mayfair, you go, you know, anywhere in London, you see Philly fans or Eagles fans all over, and you'll see the same thing with Philly fans. Unfortunately, you'll probably see a lot of Mets fans too, but I think the Philly fans will hopefully come out more numbers.
No doubt.
No doubt. That Eagles Jaguars series, you know, I was there I couldn't get a ticket to the game, but I was there for the weekend, and I was at Pashyung, and you're right. Everywhere you went, it was go Birds, go Birds. Yeah. I was like, this is just surreal. It was like being, you close your eyes, you think you're in Philly. And yeah, there's so many people that have reached out saying they booked the flights, they've booked the hotels, they're coming over, hints, where to go. Like people can't wait. Or we're already with, in early talks with Pash Young about some events that are going to be happening around the London series.
MLB Europe, it's going to be busy, right?
It's going to be a whirlwind, but I'm so excited. It's going to be the week of my life. And it, not just myself, there are many, many UK fans where I've got a lot of UK fans together on Twitter in one big group chat now. So we're all touching base with each other. We're bringing us all together. We've got plans to meet at Pash Young a few times this season, and up in Manchester as well, and have some events, just to some watch-alongs, just to get fans together. We've got a lot of ideas coming up. Well, one idea we've got, which is really fun, the weekend before the London series, we're planning to have a Philly fan versus Mets fans baseball friendly down at Farnham Park, which is the home of British baseball. We're going to get Phil's fans, Mets fans together, put on some baseball gear and have a friendly game of exhibition game of baseball, and then have a big barbecue, some beers, and just a nice little pre-event hype that we want to get going before the main event kicks off. So we've got a lot of ideas that were like that we're trying to brew up.
I think we should have Tom or the Fanatic, myself, you, and Chase Utley, and we do the Abbey Road picture.
Oh, dream.
Oh, I like that.
What a dream. That would just be incredible.
Chase was at the game last Sunday, actually, in Philly. You know, we don't see him all the time now that he's living in London you know, around there. And I got a chance to see him. And I said, Chase, we're coming over next summer, you know. And he's like, you're going to have the time of your life. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. So I know he's fired up for it.
You really are. For people listening, and I know I've been banging about a lot on podcasts and on social media, but It is a festival of baseball, and I can't. It's an experience. The experience itself, not just for the game, but everything that surrounds the event. It's an event. It's an international event like no other, and it's just going to be an absolute blast. I'm just praying the weather is good. Just stay dry. I just want it to stay dry. That's all. And the way it's been the last month, I'm nervous for next year, but positive. We're staying positive.
Be positive.
You two have known each other. You've been best friends for a long, long time. So there's got to be some great stories that you guys have with the Fanatic. Come on, let's have some great stories, because there's got to be so many.
I'll tell one, then you know what? Sorry, Tom, you've heard this a million times. Well, I'm going to tell two quick ones. One is the Fanatic used to always go down to spring training, but only on St. Opening Day and St. Paddy's Day. Right. And then probably about, I don't know, 15 years ago, right, Tom?
About 10 years ago,
Dave Montgomery said, we want the Fanatic to come down for all spring training, for all the fans down there to attend every game. So we are thinking about how we can make, it's going to be a big news. So we were in all a big meeting, and I said, we ought to have like a, you know, when you go down, when Tom drives down with the Fanatic, we ought to document it and chronicle it and do it through social media, and make stops in different ways, you know, on the way down to Florida. And then it got to the point where I volunteered myself, I think. And I said, all right, I'll go with you. And I'm not the greatest social media person, but I said, I'll do Vine. Vine was big back then. I said, I'll do Vine videos and we'll set an itinerary. It'll take us 3 days to go down there. And of course, Dave, I picked like some of my favorite places to go, where I have a bunch of friends and things. But we stopped. First stop was in Richmond. And we went to Richmond because I went to school about an hour from Richmond. And we went to a Richmond minor league game. And then we were going to go to, the Fanatic was going to ride on the Richmond International Raceway, which is a famous track.
Yodel track, yeah.
Yep. And so Tom was getting, the Fanatic was getting dressed. So I drove the van. I'd never driven the van before. It doesn't have
that
a
was
rear
a mistake
mirror.
Right there, Dave. That was a mistake. It
doesn't have a rear view mirror. So as the Fanatic's getting dressed in the back, and I'm trying to back this van out of the stadium, I backed into a huge, and pretty fast, backed into a huge trash compactor and blew out the back, including the glass, and glass went all over the Fanatic. And we had to get the car fixed before we were going to head down to Charleston, which we were supposed to do the next morning. So that's
the last time I'll let him drive the Fanatic van.
I was going to say, was that the last time you let him drive?
Last time.
That is one. Then my other one is, it's And Tom, I know you hear the story a lot. We're both Little Feet fans, the band Little Feet. And I went with Tom to a show, and then about, I don't know, towards the end of the show, Tom said, I'll be right back. And next thing you know, 20 minutes later, the Fanatic comes flying down the alley of this arena, little stadium venue. And Fanatic, and the crowd goes nuts because it's in Philadelphia. And Fanatic just jumps up on stage and basically jams with Little Feet for probably, it seemed like 5-10 minutes. And we knew the guitarist unfortunately passed away, Paul Barrere. And after the show, Paul Barrere said, man, that was awesome. Did you set that up? I'm like, no, I didn't set it up. I said, I thought you set it up. And next thing you know, Tom comes down, saunters in. He's like, we're like, what was up with that? He's like, sorry, Paul, if that was okay, but I just got, you know, you guys were in.
And I got the feeling, man. You got the dancing feet.
That was brilliant. Well, last time I was there for the drone and fireworks show, I got to see the Fanatic rocking out with the guitar on the film.
That's
that was
right.
I could see that the Fanatic was living his dream right there. You know, he looked
absolutely
he looked in his element with that guitar. I think he could have kept playing while the drone show was going on. He looked quite happy.
I could have kept the Fanatic could have kept going. It was Chuck Berry's Johnny B. Good, a guitar solo, 40,000 people, spotlight on him, living the dream there, David, for sure.
Tom, can you think of anything else between me and you? I hogged two stories.
No, that's all right. This is more about John. You know, he's always looked at my job. I always looked at his job saying, man, that's a great job. I'd really love to have it, you know, director of fun and games. But he looks at my job and thinks the same thing, you know, that, boy, yeah. I'd love to be the best friend of the Fanatic. So he'll never be the best friend of the Fanatic. So one game, instead of being the best friend of the Fanatic, he was the best friend of Smiley the Pig, who is the Hatfield hot dog company. Yeah. Their mascot is a pig, and John actually and the pig were one night, and John had to go out onto the concourse as Smiley the Pig and greet fans, and he had to deliver hot dogs to somebody over, I think, at the restaurant that was there, right, John? Didn't we have to go to the old Passing Stowe, whatever right. was best before pass out? But he was only doing it for about 10 minutes or so. And he got back to the office and took the head off. It was like, he was about to die. I'm like, come on.
Let me add something to that story is that I had just started dating my wife at the time. And I hadn't met the in-laws, and Jill said to her parents, said, oh, my boyfriend who you haven't met yet is going to be Smiley the Pig. So you should watch the game tomorrow night because he's Smiley the Pig. Well, sure enough, as Smiley the Pig, one of the things you do on Dollar Dog Night is you go into the TV booth and give hot dogs, right?
Yeah.
And Larry Anderson, for some reason, was on TV. So Larry knew that I was in the suit, and I walked in as Smiley the Pig with the hot dogs. And again, my in-laws are watching because my girlfriend at the time told me to, you know, do that. And next,
the
you know,
boyfriend.
Larry Anderson said, hey, it's Smiley the Pig. Hey, Smiley, did anyone ever tell you you look like that pig, John Brazier?
Was it you in the costume when the Fanatic shot the shot Smiley the Pig right in the gut with the hot dog? No.
No, that wasn't John. That was some other sucker. But Dave, think about John's future in-laws. I mean, this is the boy that their lovely daughter is just starting to date, and this is their first impression of him.
And Larry threw you straight under that bus.
Yeah. It hasn't really gone downhill from there. It's been
no, to be fair, yeah, if survive that, you can survive anything, right? Quickly on Red October last year, the playoff drought was over finally. For myself, being there, the trip of my life, one of the highlights of my sporting moments, the Reese Hoskins bat spike will forever live with me more than any other moment. But for the Fanatic and for yourself, what were the highlight of many? What was the highlights for you? Because it had been a long time for everybody, not just us fans, but everybody involved with the Phils, to working there, you know, to the broadcasters, to the media, you know, finally it was our time for everybody. What particularly were the highlights? It could be personal or for the fanatic. What was the highlights for yourselves of that incredible run of Red October?
And you said it, David. It was a drought. And it really reminded me of 2007 when, you know, the Phillies had – the last time we had made it to the playoffs was 1993, made it to the World Series. But then we had that drought. And I remember when we won in 2007 and the way we clinched on the last day of the season, it was the most amazing game.
And Mets imploded.
Yeah, the Mets had a terrible game. We won. You know, they lost a 7-game lead in, 10 days or so. It's just the greatest. But it was that relief as the team, as our employees, as the city, the whole city and all the fans. It was that relief. And it definitely felt like that a little bit, too, because we had this long drought and then had this great second half of the season. And and I just remember from that series, you know, that playoff, that every game, you know, when we had the Atlanta Braves and then we had the San Diego Padres and then the Houston Astros, every game at home, we won every game and they were all done in spectacular fashion, you know, either whether a blowout where we had an inning where we scored 5 runs or a comeback or dramatic home runs. And the Fanatic was lucky enough to kind of be out in the crowd because, as I mentioned before, he kind of takes breaks during the game. And but the Fanatic was out there for just about every big moment of those playoffs. And I just remember everybody was standing. Nobody sat down for most of those games.
Yeah.
And usually when the Fanatic goes into a section, everybody is mobbing them and pictures and selfies. And with this, you know, with the playoffs, everybody's standing watching the game. The Fanatic would show up and everybody would just say, "Hey, Fanatic." And then, you know, we're watching the game. And then the Fanatic would just move into a section, find a spot, just sit and watch and stand and watch the game with the crowd. And the home run would be hit and the Fanatic would kiss every fan he could get his hands on. So it was just an amazing run, a great year. We'll never forget it.
And I think my two big moments are, and it'll be the same moment for a lot of people, is, you know, we win in St. Louis. We have our first, you know, game 3 of the Braves series. We have our first home game. Our crowd was just, it's a first home playoff game since 2011. So our crowd was ready. They were primed. They could just, you could just feel the excitement. And when Reese Hoskins hit the home run, it was almost like the lid was taken off a cauldron. I mean, it was like basically the Philly fans were looking for an excuse to explode, and they did. It was the loudest I've ever heard the ballpark still to this day. And the other big moment for me was San Diego. We're down. There's a rain. It's raining, and we all said we're down. I guess going in the 8th inning, and when Bryce Harper hit that home run, I was with my 15-year-old daughter, who really got into baseball at that point. And we're watching together. My wife's in the back, and she's nervous, pacing, can't even watch. And when Bryce Harper hit the home run, I jumped up and down with my 15-year-old daughter. And I got to tell you, there was no better, and that's the beauty of sports, there's no better bonding moment for father, son, grandfather, grandkid, husband, wife, whatever it may be. For in this moment, it was me and my daughter, and we'll always have that memory going forward. And then obviously, you know, we win that game and we know we're on the way to the World Series. So what a spectacular, what a just great moments that went on.
The Braves series. So I was there for that, the Reese game. And then the one after the JT inside the Parker and the Reese Hoskins home run. You're right. It was, I've never ran and hugged so many strangers and so many randoms after that home run and the euphoria. Cause me and my girlfriend were stood by this under the scoreboard up there in the porch on the alleyway. And you just had a feeling. I don't know what it was. It's just a feeling of, I think Reese is going to do something special here. And sort of people were feeling it around us as well. And we were kind of looking at each other and like, we think Reese is going to do something here. And the moment it went out, I remember just, first of all, beer just flying into the air. Like, and it just coming down and everyone just hugging, going crazy. The whole 30 seconds after was like, what just happened? How did I get here? What just happened? The whole euphoria. It's like we blacked out and just come back to reality. And we didn't really see the bat spike until the replays and and then we all went crazy again, like good for Reese. And it was just a moment that I, you know, afterwards I had goosebumps on my arms, like for a good 40 seconds afterwards of what had just happened. And you're right. It was like then, the place went crazy and the fans were so up for it. Every pitch, everybody was in it. And it followed on to the next day as well. The Brandon Marsh home run, the JT inside, the Parker again, you know, watching him round the bases. It was like watching, you know, you've got men on the racehorse and you're watching him come home. You're winning him on as he got nearer to the home plate. And it was just, again, goosebumps when he got over the home plate. And again, it was just the intensity in every single pitch. But the biggest thing for me is, and one thing that gives me a lot of confidence as we go down the stretch this year, is that when Citizens Bank Park gets going, I've never experienced anything like it. I've been to so many sporting events in my life, and Citizens Bank Park was rocking when I was there, like physically shaking with the noise, the rally towels. Opposing teams hated it. The Braves just wilted. You know, they just went in themselves, like, get us out of here. Padres did the same thing.
Yeah.
And I think August, September, you know, as the intensity starts to rise up as we get nearer to the end of the season and Red October is right there in sight, I think, again, the bank will start, the fans will really start to get that postseason feel again. And I think that's going to carry us over the line, especially to get into Red October, and then what happens from then, who knows, you know, it's so hard.
And we have a lot of home games in August too, and in September. So
yeah, there's a nice run ahead of us. So I'm still, I don't know about you guys quickly with the fields at the moment. I still think there's too much talent in this team. They're going to come good. And we can't peak now. We can't peak too soon. I know it's frustrating, but it's all about when you hit your stride, like last year, when you hit your momentum. We've got a nice run of series coming up. We've got a lot of home games, you just said there, John. And then we've got a pretty tough road series. But by then, we're in September. We're down to the nitty-gritty. And I think that's when Trey Turner could flick it on. Cassianos is back. Bryce finds that power again. Nola dials himself right in. So I am no way losing the faith at all yet. I just don't – I'm winning streaky here and there. It's not the worst thing in the world because, like I said, it's all about when you hit momentum. John, Tom, quickly, how do you see the rest of the season playing out for the Phils?
Well, I just the way you laid it out.
Yeah, and right, John, the schedule here, a lot of red. So a lot of home games, a crowd, and I think you're right. We got Sir Anthony came back, is coming back tonight.
Yeah,
and you're right. We haven't hit our peak. We haven't, you know, and they will. And now if Bryce can really figure out first base, which so far he's playing great, and that basically allows Kyle Schwarber to be, you know, the DH, and then that, you know, who knows, trade deadline, Dombrowski's going to be active, and who knows, maybe we get a right-handed bat that can play out in the outfield, power guy. So I'm looking forward to it, and I think just that experience, as you said, the experience of the guys doing it last year will help this year. They're not afraid of any big moment.
Absolutely. Tom?
I agree, you know, and you mentioned the veteran presence too on this team is really we talked earlier, we had Taryn Hatcher from NBC Sports Philadelphia on yesterday, and she said, and she's been around a lot of locker rooms, and we've heard it too, haven't we, John, that this locker room is just really tight. There's, you know, yeah, we've had, it's ups and downs. We've had some tough, really gut-wrenching losses. Last night was one of them. Never any finger pointing. Rob Thompson, I think, sets the tone with the way he manages and manages the clubhouse. And the veterans are a big part of that, too. So I like that, too. You mentioned Trey Turner. I think we're all waiting for him to click. And I just feel like it could be tonight and then he's going to be good. He just needs to snap out of it a little bit.
I feel Trey last night was Trey's Bohm moment. It can't get any worse. And Bohm came back after his moment and then just went on his incredible run. I think Trey's got this and the boys will pick him up. One very quick final question for both of you. Very, very quickly. What would John and Tom, what do you think of Fanatics walk-up song? If you had to choose any walk-up song, what would it be?
What do you got, John?
Well,
John's
I know
it's a long time.
Well, no, it's funny because I'm playing in a pickleball tournament in a family reunion this weekend, and my niece asked me, what's my walk-up song? And I would do this if I was a baseball player. It would totally be it, because for me, it's the beginning of a song that's got a great hook. I would do the Rolling Stones, Can You Hear Me Knocking? Because the beginning of that song has a great guitar riff, Keith Richards. It would be a great way for me to walk up to the plate and knock out inside the Parker.
That's a tough one on top.
That is a tough one to top. I was going to go Linda Ronstadt's Blue Bayou, but that might be too slow, so I won't go with that. No,
what I'm going to guess, Jackson Brown.
Or Jackson. It can't be. I love Jackson Brown. It can't be Jackson for my walk up. So I'll go. You know, you always hear East Coast, West Coast, you know, hip hop. The original East Coast, West Coast. East Coast was Bruce Springsteen, West Coast was Jackson Brown. I'm going to go Bruce Springsteen, Born to Run.
Two excellent choices. Excellent. We'll have those songs playing out the podcast as we leave. John, Tom, I cannot thank you enough for coming on the pod. It's been an absolute blast. Enjoy the rest of the season, guys. Hopefully.
Well we're going to see you in October.
Yeah. Oh, right. I've got some dates set aside, some money set aside.
Nice.
As soon as they're confirmed.
David's going broke with all these trips back to Philadelphia, John. He's not going to have two dimes to rub together, I think, by the time we come up. We're going to have to buy him meals, I think, when we get to London.
We'll buy some Boddingtons when we get over there.
Now you're talking. Yeah, now we're absolutely. Talking. Guys, thank you for listening and watching the show. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on, John and Tom. All the best. And I usually at the end of the show we'll go ring the bell. So from me, Dave Shaw, it's ring the bell. From John,
ring the bell. Ring the bell. Bang.
And from
ding,
Tom,
ding, 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 ding.
Ring the bell. Awesome. Cheers, guys.